Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the Leet, Luke Cutforth.
I'm here too, and I don't know what that means.
This week we're talking about cortical computers and human horrors. But first, look, I've got a question for you.
I have a question. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, I said, but first I've got a question for you. So okay. I'll tell you what I'm talking about.
But first I have a question for you. What are you talking about?
Right, okay, so I feel like we may be in a loop here.
Yes.
What I said is that I will answer your question.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, you didn't even need to ask your question because I'd already said I'm going to answer the question. But first, you need to answer my question, Luke. And my question is, have you ever played Doom?
No, but I know what we're talking about now. Thank you. You've answered that question. I've seen lots of videos of Doom. I might have played it one day. Don't know.
Playing it. I might have played it.
It's one of those things you sort of might have played as a child on a computer, but you've forgotten.
I mean, maybe. It was from 1993, so before both of our times.
Uh-huh.
But of course, you can play video games that are older than you. That is perfectly possible. That has been done before. They've cracked the case. They've done it. It can be done. But no, it wasn't just Doom that we're talking about today, because that's just a game.
Yeah.
That's not really a Sci Guys episode. Have you heard about the brain cells?
Yes, scientists taught 200,000 neurons to play Doom. Yes. Did I ruin the episode?
You didn't ruin the episode. You stole my sentence.
Yay!
So in 2021, Cortical Labs made headlines by producing a computer made from human neurons that could teach itself to play Pong. But in 2026, they announced a breakthrough. It can finally run Doom.
And that's important because that's 2.5D, which is more than Pong, which is kind of 1D, sort of 2D. So we've got more D's, is what I'm saying. And more D's is always a good thing.
I'm glad that you are on top of all of the D's. I'm shocked that you did not really know what Doom was, but now you know that it's 2.5D just based on this story.
No, I know what... I knew what Doom was, I just haven't played it.
Oh, okay.
But I know exactly what Doom is from the screenshots I've seen.
From the screen... Well, I've actually played Doom today.
Despite it being older than you.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, you know, I play things that are older than me. You
wow.
know? Like the hot mamas.
Doom's
you know?
A cougar.
Mm-hmm. I love playing them cougars, you know? I'm a cougar cub. What is it?
A Doomger.
Right, so I did play Doom. The reason I played Doom was because I was testing it, because that's what we're going to do on the Patreon today.
No way!
We're going to play Doom. I don't understand. It just drops you in the game. I didn't know what to do. Anyways, I am dumber than a computer made of human neurons, despite that I am a computer made from human neurons, you know?
You're dumber than yourself.
Dumber than another version of a person, yeah.
A
dumber than most
version
people.
Of you.
Yeah, dumber than a person who literally is not even a person, you know? But let's get into this. So do you know anything about this story other than what you've just told me about all the D's?
No.
My God, you are not useless. That's rude. That's rude. That's cruel. You are baffling.
Yeah.
Your knowledge is so specific and often completely useless.
Mostly just headlines.
Headlines read from tweets.
Yes.
Specifically, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I should be a newspaper editor, really. I've got a brain full of headlines. That's it.
I don't know if you can write a headline, though. Why don't you try and write a headline for this episode?
Scientists taught 200,000 neurons to play Doom.
No, you didn't write that. You stole that. So
the science of... scientists teaching Doom no, okay, I quit. I quit my job.
Cool. Glad to see that if I went out of commission, you could pick up, you know, the reins and take over naming the episodes.
I'm just hoping that you don't go out of commission. There's nothing left.
So we've spoken about Doom a little bit. Do you know anything else about Doom? It's 2.5D, anything else?
So it's a shooter game. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by 2.5D is sort of like, it's not, I think, not really running a 3D simulation. It's sort of pretending to be 2.5D. It's pretending to be 3D in the same way that, like, when The Simpsons kind of, like, if there's like a occasional shot where it like pretends to rotate round. I think there's one in The Simpsons movie potentially. That's not really 3D, although it might, behind the scenes it actually might be.
It, but like, it almost certainly is.
Back in the day when you were like drawing cartoons and you did a sort of 3D movement, it wasn't really 3D. It was 2D pretending to be 3D. So it's 2.5D, which is not a real thing, but that's what it's called.
I think it's mostly used in video games because I know 2.5D, there's a lot of 2.5D, I think, beat-em-ups or fighter games, right? Mm. Where it's not... I think 2.5D can mean different things, right? I think also where, you know, you've got some depth in the field. Like you can move up and down and that pushes you like sort of closer to, I suppose, you as the player and farther away, like into the screen and farther out of the screen sort of thing. That could kind of maybe be 2.5D. But yeah, no, from my experience playing Doom, you know, because I'm a hardened gamer. Sorry, I'm a hard gamer. I'm fully erect.
Oh.
I really like
from
Doom.
From Doom?
Like, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I love Doom.
I don't like this anymore.
You'll see.
Oh,
you'll see.
No, the Patreon.
You'll find out.
Oh, no.
We'll be hardened Doomers together.
Please get a cushion for the Patreon.
So, no, from my experience playing it, it looks kind of 3D, right? It's got all the sort of 3D sort of vibes, but it's you can tell it's from 1993. You could tell. It was the version that we have is from the SNES, Super Nintendo Entertainment System. So it's a 1993 first-person shooter game. It was published by ID Software for MS-DOS. Do you know what that means?
Yes, Microsoft DOS. That's like, it's basically terminal, but if terminal was the whole, or command prompt, if you're a Microsoft person, which is who we're talking about. Basically like black screen, white text, you type commands in, but that's the whole thing. There's nothing else going on.
Thank you for explaining that, because I am not a Microsoft person, as I've explained. I'm a macro hard person.
Oh, God. No, how many?
Fully erect, Luke,
I'm
fully erect.
Keep a counter of how many times you accidentally slip your erection into conversation. I had to change the
direction. I don't slip it in by accident, Luke. Where my erection goes
no.
is...
Oh, the counter's broken already.
Well, I slipped my erection into it, Luke.
Oh.
Anyways, Doom, it's a whole franchise as well, right? It's kind of, I think it was maybe developed by the same people that did Wolfenstein, that like one where you shoot, you know, Mecha Hitler and things.
And I think the Colin McRae car series that I played as a child. I think that was ID Software. Like racing game. I think the thing about Doom, I think, is that at the time it was very impressive. It's one of those games where, like, if you gave it to someone now who doesn't know about it, they'd be like, "What's this piece of crap?" But at the time, it was like, "Wow, a breakthrough in computer graphics."
I want to be clear. Yeah, no, I mean, I do think it's impressive because I know sort of the history of it. Like in 1993, that is an impressive game. Nowadays, obviously, playing it, I'm like, what am I even looking at here? But it is, yeah, it's a massive leap forward. In gaming technology, I suppose. And the kind of meme, can it run Doom? Are you aware of the meme?
Yeah. So I'm not so much aware of, is that like a hardware thing? Like, can like my calculator run Doom? Can a Raspberry Pi run Doom? That kind of thing. I'm more aware of the kind of like trend in science, or like the meme of like, they taught this to play Doom. So that's what I'm aware of.
So the meme is generally just, can it run Doom? As in getting Doom to run on the craziest thing. So I think we maybe did, it might have been when we were doing live shows, we spoke about what are they called, pregnancy tests, like digital pregnancy tests.
Yes.
I think someone got a digital pregnancy test to run Doom at one point. So I mean, I've got a website up here called canitrundoom.org.
Great.
.org, of course, for a an organization that is
non-profit who just writes down what can play Doom.
Hey, look, this charity, some people support cancer children or whatever they're called.
Cancer children.
Some people support, you know, dogs without tails. I support Can It Run Doom.
Dogs without tails. That's quite a...
Think about it. A dog without a leg, right? They're fine. They're running around on their little three legs. Sometimes they'll have two legs, and if it's the front legs, they'll run around on their front legs, and they'll just balance. It's great. It's cute. But a dog without a tail, that's so sad. Luke.
Have we tried to transplant the tail to be the fourth leg for the dogs with three legs?
You would be an excellent scientist. Specifically in a sort of Europe, I would say, in the early, early to sort of mid 19th century?
Like Nazi scientist.
Yeah. Not 19th, sorry, 20th century.
Okay,
yeah,
or like the scientist in Poor Things.
No. The scientist in Poor Things, he's a vibe, right? He's Scottish. He's Willem Dafoe. That's two things that I like. Therefore, anything he does is probably fine. He also made Emma Stone, another thing that I like. She's not a thing. She's a complete woman, and I respect her.
I don't know what to do with that. I'm so sorry. You walked yourself into a corner and then just backed out.
Sometimes you walk yourself into a corner, you got to turn around, walk right back out. That's all you can do, Luke.
A whole thing.
Wow, Luke. A whole thing? A woman? You're calling a woman a thing? I would never.
You just did.
Nope, I don't remember that. So do you want to know some things that run Doom?
Emma Stone?
I mean, Emma Stone probably could play Doom, that is.
But can she run Doom? Well, I suppose you could steal 200,000 of her neurons and teach them to play Doom.
She is an actor, though. Do they have those?
She can pretend to play Doom, then.
All right, that's it. There we go. We found the loophole. Yeah, so some things that play Doom. A smart planter. Pine Buds Pro earbuds. That's something that can run Doom. This is just the front page right now. These are the latest submissions. An analog oscilloscope can run Doom.
Wow. This is kind of like the flex of the kind of nerdy hardware world, I'm guessing. It's like a way of proving your stripes. Getting your stripes is to get something to run Doom, like your microwave or your fridge or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know how difficult it is to get things to run Doom, to be honest. I think the kind of point is that Doom is, the file size is probably very small, mm-hmm. right? So like being able to run it probably doesn't need much. And it doesn't need much computing power to run it compared to what we've got now, right? Obviously, back in the 90s, it was a lot, relative. But nowadays, you can get it on, you've got the computing power on a set of earbuds to run a game that required a console.
Yeah, and of course, famously, the computer in a pregnancy test is as powerful as the computer that landed us on the moon. So the computer that landed us on the moon could technically play Doom, but presumably only just...
Could it? Here's the thing. That is from the 60s, in 1969, mm-hmm. right? And it only just got them to the moon. Skin of their damn teeth, man. Like, so many things went wrong on that mission. I mean, to the point where I'm like, if they were faking the moon landing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd probably fake it better. As in, they wouldn't be like, yeah, we made all of these mistakes and barely survived.
Yeah, if you were trying to fake going to the, like, Mars, you wouldn't be like, oh, and we got there using an iPhone 4. You'd be like, at least the iPhone, whatever the new one is.
Use the modern iPhone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to be fair, an iPhone 4 could absolutely get you to the moon in the 60s. I mean, you know, we could go to the moon right now with the kit we've got in this room, probably, and a rocket ship.
It's kind of depressing, though. Like, actually, when you said this about Doom and stuff, it's kind of depressing that, like, so much of the reason we need high-end hardware in, like, our phones and everything we use that's a computer is basically just, like, the graphics. We want the graphics to look nice and fancy, and we want high resolution displays. And then the encryption, because we don't want people to steal stuff. Like, that's kind of like a massive amount of the data processing is just those two things. And the actual stuff, what this kind of shows, like the fact that we land on the moon with this like pregnancy test, not literally, in case you aren't following.
No, that's what NASA's doing now. That's where NASA's going next. They canceled the shuttle program. They were going all in on the pregnancy test.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the MRI came out of space. We accidentally invented a... No, that doesn't make any sense.
The MRI came out of space, Luke. What, did it just... It just landed one day.
Yeah. It's an alien. Just presented itself to us. I really hope people are following this. I think like there's lots of in jokes that we that are gonna be like, what the hell's going on?
I'm not in on these jokes, man. I mean, I'm barely following this. Carry on. What were you about to say?
Right, my point is that I think so much of the, because so much of the hardware is actually about doing stuff that I think we could say is relatively superficial. Like, obviously a video game, you want the graphics to be good, but like, does your iPhone need to look like it's made of glass on the screen? I don't know.
Mine doesn't. I hate it.
And it's kind of depressing that like we put so much cryptographic energy into just basically stopping spies and bad people stealing our stuff. Lovely, and I want us to do it, but kind of like, it's one of those things where, I don't know if you saw Pluribus on Apple TV.
I didn't see it on Apple TV. I pirated it. No, I've not seen it yet.
It's about like basically an infection that like makes everyone one person, and so then there's no crime or anything, and everything's just way more efficient. But also a little bit dystopian because nobody's an individual anymore.
Just a little bit dystopian. Just a touch dystopian.
Yeah, quite dystopian. But like everything's so much more efficient because you spend so much energy basically like trying to figure out if someone's lying, and then trying to figure out if someone's trying to steal something from you, and can you trust somebody? And that's like so much of your brain. You could probably have like a pee for a brain if you didn't have to like defend yourself or check that somebody wasn't going to attack you, or like do your hair looking pretty, like an iPhone screen needs to be pretty.
I love you saying you probably could have a brain the size of a pea, which I mean, you're not wrong. No, you're absolutely right. But let's think about the animal kingdom, for example, mm-hmm. right? And social animals, I'm just gonna say this because I'm pretty sure it's true, and I think that's how science works. So social animals have bigger brains usually, right? Because uh-huh. being social is hard for some people.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's technically hard for organisms, right? Social interactions and things. And specifically for some humans, it's even harder. But, but no. But obviously, you know, say look at an insect, right? Look at ants, eusocial insects, sort of like that, where they don't need to necessarily use a lot of brain power because it's just, I smell this scent and that means I do this. Or I smell that and I do that. That's why how you can get ants caught in death spirals where they're following a sort of pheromone path or whatever. And it just kind of takes them in a circle. And then other ants will start following that. And then you've just got a whole mass of ants walking in a circle until they die. Because they don't, I mean, they don't have any sort of internal instructions to do anything else. And most people, if you started them walking in a circle, would also die. But some wouldn't. Some would think, I'm going to step out of this circle and I'm going to do my own thing.
And we call those the chats.
I was going to say they call those the YouTubers, but yeah.
Well, YouTubers are the chads of the early 20th century.
YouTubers are also the chuds of the 21st century. No, so Cortical Labs, that's who did this. Have you heard of Cortical Labs before?
No, not a clue. I'm so sorry.
But they're the ones that did this. So they did the Pong thing that we mentioned before. Mm. Their whole thing is, I mean, I guess, they've got this computer, the CL1, which is the world's first code-deployable biological computer. Now, I want to be clear, they didn't get brain cells to run Doom.
No.
They got it to play Doom. So this isn't like a sort of brain as a, like brain cells as a computer. Mm. It's probably easier to think of it as brain cells doing thinking to control computers, which isn't a big distinction, right? It's not a huge distinction there, but it's, I think it's important to recognize that there is still silicon in there.
I mean, it's a massive distinction actually, because like essentially it's the difference between like a brain running assembly code, like running computer code versus like interacting with a computer, which we, you know, we don't write code when we interact with a computer. We learn how to do it and we don't really know how we do it. And these guys, even though they built this brain thing, they probably don't have any idea how the brain is playing Doom.
They just
know that it is doing it. Like with the language models and stuff that we have now, we're like, we don't really know what's going on here, but we know that it's sometimes not stupid.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When I was reading about this, it really did get me thinking about how similar this seemed to training AI models. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that kind of makes sense because the training of AI models is kind of how you'd want to train a person. Not exactly how you'd want to train a person, but there's an element of humanity in there in terms of like, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. You know, you can train a person the way that you train, you can't train a person the way you train AI exactly. I just mean as in, if someone says, is this right? And you say no, they're like, okay, I'll try and figure out what's right then. You know, that's kind of what you do with children.
Yes, and well, it's actually even closer than that than you say, because literally when you're saying like, this reminds me of how we train AI models. It's like, well, but the AI models are based on us. They're based on how our brains work. And also, to extend your point there, you said this is kind of how you might train a person. This is literally how some people are trained to do some things. There's a skill of like, I think it's sexing chickens or sexing something. Maybe we talked about it on the podcast before, basically, where there's a type of chicken where like you have to sort them for like male and female when they're young, and you cannot actually tell whether they're male or female. Like, we don't really know how to do that when they're so young. And yet there is some practice where you have like a master who has like somehow figured out how to sex these chickens. And the way that the master teaches the students is that he basically looks over their shoulder and then they go, male or female. And then they just randomly make a choice. And the master goes, no or yes. And somehow there must be some information that we're picking up on subconsciously, or some information the eyes have that we don't consciously have access to in our brain. But you learn how to do it. And you learn how to do it with a massive level of accuracy, despite the fact that you could not consciously tell anyone what you are looking at. You just sort of feel it on a gut level of like, oh, that's a male chicken. I might be butchering that a little bit, but the general point is is correct. And even people who know how to do it have no idea how they know how to do it.
No, I'm aware of this. Yeah. And the reason I'm aware of it is kind of from Pokemon. But you're right. There's it's basically just picking up chicks. And I think you look, I want to say you look at the underside of
them.
It's
like you look at the bum hole or something. Yeah.
The cloaca. Yeah.
Yeah. the chicken bum.
The chicken everything hole, really. Right. the out hole for the chicken. No, but you look at look at the cloaca and you can, I guess, see a difference. But I don't know.
But they don't know what they're seeing. They just have a sense of like, that's a female chicken, and they put it in the right place, but they don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah, not all chicks, bear in mind, not all chickens as well. I think there are probably some chickens where you can tell, mm-hmm. you can sex them when they're younger using different attributes. But yeah, I think this is probably for sort of taking away the males to mm-hmm. be ground up because they're useless.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
And, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, that is exactly what it's for.
That is exactly it. Yeah, exactly. So that's, thank you. No, I know that this is how we train people, but it's not how we train people all the time, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the most efficient way to train a person just by saying you're right or you're wrong. Sometimes it's better to give someone a bunch of information, be like, here's how to, like, okay, we can learn to play video games by trial and error. In fact, actually, that is generally how a kid will probably learn to play mm-hmm. a video game, right? You don't have someone always there to help you or to, I mean, I didn't, at the least, Luke. I had no one there to help me, no older siblings, and my only friends were on the screen.
And they weren't giving you any feedback either.
No, they weren't. Actually, they were giving me negative feedback, a lot of negative feedback.
Of dying.
So yeah, you learn to play games that way. I think it's really interesting that that's the sort of, that's the model that they're kind of, they use to teach these sort of things to play Doom. And the interesting part about this is that they didn't sort of, the people that made this computer, the CL1, they didn't teach the brain cells to play Doom themselves. They had a sort of third party, it's called Sean Cole. He's an independent developer. He used Python to teach the chips to play Doom. It took him about a week. Python mm-hmm. being the programming language, not a snake.
Yeah, we taught a Python to play Doom.
We taught a Python to teach a brain to wow. play Doom.
I mean, we've really nailed it at that point. We can scrap all the AI models if we've taught a Python to teach a brain.
I don't know if we should be taking lessons from snakes. I feel like there's a book that mentions why that's a bad idea. I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something there, right?
Isn't there a theory that like the snake is actually the good guy? In the story of Genesis, where like, and God's the bad guy. I'm pretty sure that's the thing. I sound like I'm like really.
Yeah, I mean there are people. Yeah,
no, but I think it's like true. I think it's like a good, really decent reading of it because in Genesis, God is basically like going, "You'll die if you eat that apple," and then they don't die. They actually just gain consciousness. And the snake was like, "Eat the apple." So the snake gifted consciousness to the world, and God was trying to keep it for himself. Greedy God.
I mean, as far as consciousness goes,
yeah.
Not saying that I super need it, you know what I mean? Wouldn't be bad being a monkey just eating fruits and having fun.
Yes.
And not worrying about my ever approaching demise. That's not great, right? Mm. So maybe God was right.
Counterpoint, who's the first person to commit a sin in the Bible?
Cain?
God. He lies to Adam and Eve.
No, he didn't lie because think about it, right? If you say you're going to die,
mm-hmm, yeah.
if you eat this apple,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't going to die, you know, before they ate the apple, and then as soon as they eat the apple, they're like, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to kill you now.
But he didn't kill them.
He did. He sent them out of the Garden of Eden, where Eve had to give birth to children, and that sucked, and Adam had to toil away in the fields to make food and stuff, which also sucked, and then one day they would die.
Was the idea that Adam and Eve were like, they would live forever before they ate the apple?
I mean, they didn't have any concept of death before that, or like nudity either,
okay,
right?
So animals don't die, is what you're saying.
In the Garden of Eden, probably not, man. I don't know. I'm not a theologian. I don't know these things. I'm barely a person who looks at science things.
I don't know. I think you're a God apologist.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
Ah, my ears!
You say that every time, and every time, Luke, I have to tell you that he will not get quieter unless people give us money. Give us money!
That feels so icky. I don't like that.
It's an ad. This is what all ads are.
Right. You. Listen up. Wallet out.
Yeah, get your wallet out, all right? Your digital wallet, your real wallet, your toy. I don't care, okay? Give us Monopoly money if you have to. There's some resale value in that, okay? I just want some cash. And you can give it to me. This is so strange. This is what all ads are, Luke. No, this is what all ads are. This is no different.
They at least pretend not to be this.
But I'm not going to pretend, Luke, because I'm a real one, okay? I'm not going to try and trick these people into thinking that we're friends and they should give us money, because I don't need to trick them because we are friends. And you should give us money.
Wow, you're so real for that.
Yeah, thank you. Go to our Patreon. Give us money. We'll maybe give you something in return. I don't know. Just give it to us. Give it. Give it.
Anyway, the Patreon is a really fun place, nice place where we do extra episodes of the podcast, sometimes related to the main show and sometimes, like, tragically unrelated to the main show.
In exchange for money.
And you can access it by subscribing to become a patron.
Which means giving us money. Give us your money to us. For us.
Well, give it to Patreon, and then they'll give some of it to us.
Yeah, they do take a little chunk for themselves.
Yeah, quite a chunk, actually.
And then when we want to send it out of Patreon, we've got to send it to another thing, and then they take a chunk too. Lots of people taking chunks, okay? Lots of people taking chunks, so give us even more.
Yeah.
So you know
that's
you're supporting the Sci Guys.
Yeah. We've had so many chunks taken away from us.
Yeah, man. I feel like the guy that Shylock wanted that pound of flesh from at the end of that Merchant of Venice play, but only if he actually did get the pound of flesh. I know Shakespeare.
What he said, Sisyphus.
I'm going to be honest with you, Luke. I have no idea what we were talking about before we went away to
shill.
Not to graciously ask for support from our good close friends and potential patrons, Luke.
Besties.
That's what we call them. The Sci Guys fans are our besties.
I don't have any other friends.
Go watch our Parasocial Relationships episode. It's awesome. No, so these neurons, do you know where they got the neurons from?
Kylie Minogue.
Why Did Kylie?
This first person who came into my head.
Really? And Kylie Minogue is the first person that came into your mind? Okay.
Interesting. She's just sort of there on the forefront, waiting to be there.
Wonder how your wife feels about that.
Well, I'd know
she
if they took
France
her from my
right
wife.
Now, isn't she?
She's in France, yeah. So they can't get to her. She's safe.
Who? Oh, right. Okay, I see. The neuron people. I don't know, because I feel like if they were to take neurons from your wife's brain and make them try and play Doom, the neurons would be like, oh, I don't know if I feel good about shooting all of these horrible monsters. What if they have feelings?
Yeah.
You know?
She's not good at video games either. So they wouldn't be able to teach her to play Doom.
She's catching so many strays right now. What the hell, dude?
She's not good at video games. She's in lots of video games, but she's not good at them.
No, she can't get to the levels where she is in the video games. That's the main issue.
We play
right?
games together, and when it gets hard, she passes me the controller.
Oh my God. No, so they got the neurons from stem cells, Luke. So they take some people's blood. You can donate blood the same way you donate blood to, you know, give blood to a person who needs blood, like a vampire or
a company who's going to teach it to play video games.
Who's going
to
make pluripotent stem cells and then differentiate those stem cells into neurons and then teach those neurons to play a game. Yeah.
Does the person who... Is it one person? Do they know it's that they've been used to make a computer that plays Doom?
I mean, they probably will know. It's not one person. It's from what I saw from the video that I watched. They'll just take blood donations from maybe whoever. I don't know. I'll be honest, I had that video on in the background whilst I was doing other stuff because I was like, you know, so long as I know they come from stem cells and and they take blood donations, I doubt Luke's going to have many follow-up questions on this.
On the computer made of brains? I'm going to have a million follow-up questions, Corey.
No, on the brains made from blood, Luke. Obviously.
Oh, yeah, I'm not interested in that at all.
Exactly. Perfectly normal stuff to do. So they take some stem cells, they then make them into brain cells. The chips that played Pong are about, I think, four times bigger than the... You said 200,000 neurons, right?
From memory, yeah.
From memory.
From memory, yeah.
From memory neurons.
Some of my neurons told me that it was 200,000, yeah. They might be wrong,
All
though.
Three of your neurons work together to get that together.
Some of my neurons are idiots.
Most of your neurons are... No, so the ones that played Pong, there were 800,000 living brain cells, I think, per chip. So it says, what I've got here, it says the chips consisted of clumps of more than 800,000 living brain cells grown on top of microelectrode arrays that can both send and receive electrical signals, right? Wow. So that's how your brain talks to itself. And to the body is by sending little electric jolts. And so to get the brains to talk to the computer, you just use electric jolts, which is really simple.
My brain talks to itself by going, you're useless and you probably smell.
Wow, I didn't think you were smart, Luke. But And there's some real insight
so
there.
So perceptive.
No, so they then trained the chips to do... So with the Pong, they trained the chips to control the paddles, or the chips trained themselves. I'm not sure. I've seen two different places
that say
two different...
No, the snake trained the chips, and the chips played the Pong.
Right. I've seen different things in different places, so I'm not sure which it is, whether they kind of train themselves or whether they have to train them. Probably they have to train... the sort of brain chips. When it comes to running Doom, as I said, somebody else did that using Python, which obviously is a massive step forward from the researchers who created these chips, making them play a very, very simple game like Pong. Someone who has no sort of experience in biology using a very normal sort of, not run-of-the-mill, but like widely used coding language to get them to play this game from 1993. That's a massive leap forward, you know?
Yeah. From my very butchered neuroscience reading in the past, I think basically what happens with neurons is that if they fire basically at the right time, that increases the connections they have to adjacent neurons, and that will increase, I think in some way it increases the amount of like sugar they get, or like the amount of glucose they get, or either that or like brain cells like just voluntarily die if they're not connected to other neurons, like if they basically just get lonely and die. So like that's how the selection process works. So I would guess that in some way the Python level, like the scripted level stuff that's going on, is basically in some way basically giving reward signals back to the neurons that are then wiring themselves in a way that means that they are then good at Pong or Doom in this case.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't know about the specifics, but from what I've read, it is a case of, yes, you've done this right, and no, this is not what you're supposed mm-hmm. to do, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, it's not good at playing Doom, yeah. right? I mean, we will probably be better at playing Doom.
I'd hope so.
I mean, fingers crossed. But the thing is that they're better than random, which is the point, right? It's better than just a bunch of random inputs. It can do all of the things that you need to do. It can sort of move from side to side, like uh-huh. turn the camera so you can look in different places and shoot. I think those are all the things that you can do in Doom. Oh, and swap, maybe swap weapons or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've not played a lot of Doom. The Doom heads in the comments are going to, you know, all of those 15 to 23-year-olds who were born long after Doom are going to be in the comments saying, you don't know Doom well enough. That's what's going to be happening.
I grew up playing Doom on my Tamagotchi, and you're fundamentally wrong.
Your first thing was to kill your Tamagotchi and then run Doom on...
Surely someone's put Doom on a Tamagotchi.
Oh, 100%.
If they put it on a pregnancy test.
If it has a computer in it,
yeah.
someone has put Doom on it.
Yeah, that's good to know.
So I've got a quote here for you. Unlike the Pong work that we did a few years ago, which represented years of painstaking scientific effort, this demonstration has been done in a matter of days by someone who previously had relatively little expertise working directly with biology. That's from Brett Kagan. He's Australian. I didn't look up how to pronounce his name because I never do that because I always forget. But he's someone from Cortical Labs. I think he said this either in a video or maybe in an interview with one of the articles that I've got linked below. Probably in the video. He says, it's this accessibility and this flexibility that makes it truly exciting.
Can you just tell me, you said about these brain computers. Is this something that, like, presumably it's not the same brain computer that they used to train Pong and it's still just alive? They manufacture these sort of brain chips and they sell them?
Well, you can buy one, yeah.
Come on. If we're not spending the Patreon money on that, what are we doing? What are we doing? We get a brain computer, Corey. We could teach it to do something.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is one of those websites where it's if you click on buy it, it just takes you. Yeah, it does not let you buy it. It takes you to a form that you have to fill in to be able to buy it.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
I just feel like whenever you want to buy something and it takes you to a form instead of like a purchase page.
Yeah.
I can't afford that thing.
I'm gonna try.
You can try if you want. But no, you can buy one. So it's
Look, I've got a baby. She's got loads of neurons. I'm not saying we harvest her neurons. I'm saying she didn't cost that much. So how much can this cost? It's not that many neurons.
I mean, realistically, babies cost negative money. It's whatever the price of contraception is minus, right? You don't need to, making a baby is, if you think about it, it's a net gain.
She
right?
eats a lot of toast though.
That's true, actually. Yeah, from the second that they're conceived, they start draining money. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Okay. You save a little bit up front.
Yeah.
And then it's all gone.
The worst investment you've ever made.
So long as they're successful, then it might be all right. You do have to parent them well enough that they want to look after you in old age. Or you can just have a culture where you can be horrible to them and they still have to look after you in old age. That's a good one too.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Lots of cultures do it.
Name names? Come on.
No, okay. Not at all. Do you think I'm going to... Hold on, right. Do you think I'm going to say something so inflammatory?
Yes.
And then go and say a bunch of...
And then call out specific country by name?
Look, here's the issue. I need to think of at least 4 more white ones so that people don't think I'm being racist.
Okay, right.
I've got Italy right now.
Yeah, Italy does that, to be fair, a little bit. We know some Italians and they've kind of traumatized by their parents.
I love my parents. They're amazing. They were horrible to me and they still are. But I've got to support them, you know, because they're my parents. And
my
I'm
nonna.
Like,
yeah,
you don't have to.
What's my nonna going to do?
None.
She can't sit on the sidewalk and judge people who walk by on her own.
I think she can. In fact, maybe you could put her somewhere. You could put her in a house, in a home, one could say. You know, you need to have her in your home. You could put her in another home with a bunch of other old people where, you know, things are definitely fine,
they
right?
They can judge each other. It's a circular economy.
They don't judge. There's something they do in retirement homes, and it's not judging. Sex. Look, they have so much sex.
What?
Yeah, I think one of the most common places to find chlamydia, other than like college campuses, is old folks' homes.
You are joking.
I'm not joking. I'm pretty sure that's true.
I had literally never considered that those old people in the old people home are having sex with each
other. Why wouldn't they? What else have they got to do?
It just never dawned on me.
A lot of them don't have partners anymore, right? Till death do us part. And so what are you going to do? Find someone else? And no.
You've genuinely blown my mind.
Right? I mean, I'm pretty sure that's true. I mean, I'll correct myself if I'm wrong at some point, but I think that's a fact that old people have sex.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
What the hell? It's just a big cesspit. Some of them haven't had sex in years. They're just raring for it.
Yeah, I mean, the sound of it is not something I want to picture. But moving on.
But they can't hear it because, sorry, tiny little tangent, hilarious tangent. I can't say who this is, but somebody I know, this is going to sound like a really messed up story before I tell you the end. Somebody I know worked in a place for kids with hearing problems, but they were like teenagers, and they're all basically deaf or like very hard of hearing.
Oh yeah, hearing problems.
But they're all like teenagers. And so they kept trying to sneak to each other's rooms to have sex, but they're all deaf. So they're constantly just getting caught because all the staff can hear. And so they're constantly just going, stop it. Go back to your room.
How did you find us? The door creaked and you stamped your way down the corridor and screamed out.
I just think that's, I mean, bless these kids. Like, you know, they're having a hard time and they're living in a place specifically because they're having a hard time, but that is still so funny.
Yeah, at least let them have sex, you know. Let them go at it.
So, but her job specifically was she was like the overnight person, so she would like she basically would just sleep there in case anyone had problems. But you'd just constantly catch them all just trying to sneak off to fuck each other.
No, look, her job was stopping them from having sex. Basically. I'm sure that like on the sort of what is it, the sort of job listing, that was the principal
professional
part
cock
of the
block.
Role. So running Doom, they basically got the game and had to translate it into a way for CL1 to be able to run it. So I've got a quote here again from Brett, whose surname I'm not going to say because I don't know how to say it. They had to translate the digital world of Doom into the biological language of neurons, which is electricity. So he said that in the video, which again is linked below. It's like a 4-minute video. It's quite interesting, to be honest with you. And so he then goes on to say, if the neurons fire in a specific pattern, the Doom guy shoots. And he doesn't say that. A different person says that. David Hogan says that. If they fire in another pattern, he moves right, and so on. So it's kind of like, I get, not like Twitch plays Pokemon, really, but kind of like how you would sort of control the video game with your mind, you know? Like mm-hmm. how you can put on electrodes on your head and think something, and it can make a video game character do something really simple, like move forward or whatever. But it's just specific patterns that they light up in, these neurons firing, correspond to specific inputs.
Which is basically all that's going on in our brains too.
Oh yeah.
It's just that we think that it's more complicated than that because we're experiencing it and it feels like we're in control.
Well, we have to put it through things like controllers, right? I mean, when you think about it, really, what computing is, or not what computing is, but one of the sort of big goals of computing is making it more accessible. So making it easier to interface with the computer.
Yeah.
Initially, obviously, it was you just had to write code and it was command line sort of stuff, mm-hmm. right? Where there's no sort of user interface, there's no nothing. You're just looking at text on a screen, and then you've got keyboards and a mouse and all of these other things that you can then use to tell the computer what to do. But this is kind of cutting out the middleman and just being like, you know, these neurons fire this way. That means computer do that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think one of the things that's less obvious from hearing about it, because it sounds so kind of like the obvious application that you think about would be like, oh, so are we going to like train AIs that are made of human like neurons, essentially not AIs anymore, right? But we're going to like build an intelligence that does a specific task, but rather than the substrate being silicon, the substrate is human neurons. That's the sort of more obvious thing. But the other side of this, I suppose, is that, like you say, the brain-computer interface, which I think is potentially, in the short term at least, more transformative. Because, like you say, there's a real like bottleneck of getting information into a computer from our brains. Like, we can get certain information, like video and sound and stuff, from a computer to us, like that way, that direction, the data transfer is pretty high. But in terms of you articulating a thought or articulating what a computer can you want it to do, the best we have right now is kind of like an AI where you type the command in or you say it, but you're still not at the point of like where you can imagine an image and it just like makes it for you. You have to describe it in words and then it makes it not how you imagined it and wrong, which is which is definitely not what we want.
It also steals to make the image and yes. Boils several oceans in the process. So a few tweaks to work out, a few kinks.
Just the last few bits to iron out. It gets it wrong, it commits massive data theft in the process, and it destroys the Earth. But other than that, we've nailed it.
Look, I want to present to you the new iPhone. It needs slavery to be made. It causes genocide sometimes if you leave it charging too long overnight. Also, it will randomly kill a cat that's in the vicinity every 36 hours. But again, you can avoid that by staying away from cats. Now, it's going to cost £1 million. Mm-hmm. Do you want it? Do you want one? Too bad. It's arrived at your door. Everyone has one now. There's no way to escape it.
You can't book a doctor's appointment without it.
And you need several more doctor's appointments because of it. Oh, God. I love technology. Yay. No, so this sort of chip, it used a quarter as many neurons as the one that used that did Pong, mm-hmm. which is insane, right? Mm. Because if you think about that, four times fewer neurons, but also Pong is far, far simpler than Doom, both visually and actually playing it, right? Like, you can translate Pong very easily. So insofar as the paddle moving up mm-hmm. is the paddle moving up, and the paddle moving down is the paddle moving down, right? So up and down, really simple. And it needs, the ball just needs to hit the paddle. That's all you need to do. Move the paddle to be where the ball is going to be. Technically kind of complex sort of spatial reasoning and whatnot, but it's all technically if we're talking about the grand scheme of intelligence, it is not as simple as you might think, right?
I think I could code a computer program to play Pong in a day.
I'm not saying that you couldn't. I'm just saying that it's more complex than many people might sort of look at it from the outset. Uh-huh. That doesn't mean that we can't write code to be able to play it. I mean, it's very simple, obviously. It's probably the simplest game, one of the simplest games you can get. I'm just saying that it's slightly more complex than you might imagine. But then Doom is a massive, mm-hmm. massive step up from that. I mean, it's not, just looking at the screen, it's not clear what it is that you're supposed to do.
I'm curious about, and I know you won't have the answer to this question, but I'm curious, the thing that comes to me is whether this computer interface device kind of thing, whether it's giving it the picture, right? Because you said that they had to modify the game.
They can't see it.
That's what I'm suspicious about, is like there's another step. If the neurons had to, all they received is what a person receives, which is the contents of the image, and it has to first decode that into like meaning and then make the actions. That is a lot more complicated. Whereas if it's got sort of access to some kind of underlying state of like knowing there's an enemy roughly 10 pixels to the left and knowing that there's a wall in front of it, but it doesn't have to work that out from the visual image. It has that information in a sort of more code form that then that code or that data is translated. That is an easier task than teaching 200,000 neurons to see first.
Yeah, I mean, sorry that these neurons can't. Sorry, we didn't make a biological/digital eye for this brain to play Doom. But no, yeah, you're right. It is. It's much harder to get it to basically sort of have this computer just, you know, look at a screen and play Doom that way than it is to have the sort of coding input 100%. But it is still a massive, massive leap forward. Obviously, they say that they play like a beginner who's never seen a computer.
Wow, we're really, really nailing this AI thing, aren't we?
And in all fairness, they haven't. That's like literally the quote. And in all fairness, they haven't. But they show evidence that they can seek out enemies, they can shoot, they can spin, which are all the things that you need to do in Doom. And as I was saying, so it uses fewer neurons than the Pong one. But it's really interesting that sort of in that sort of, what, 5-year period, I guess, between 2021 and now, it's gone from that many neurons just to play Pong, and it was done by people who made the thing, right? To 5 years later, quarter of the amount playing Doom, better than random, not as good as an experienced player, obviously, better than random, and, you know, by someone using Python. To code it, which it's sort of like a case study, right, for using this in other applications. It's a big headline thing, but if someone can code this to use sort of play Doom, then somebody else could probably code it to operate a machine arm or something like that, like, you know, robot arms. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that they bring up, that you sort of this sort of decision making that they want computers to be able to do. Using these kinds of computers might be better than using machine learning. They say that they learnt much faster than traditional silicon-based machine learning systems and should be able to improve its performance with newer learning algorithms. But it's not useful to compare the chips to human brains. They say, yes, it's alive, yes, it's biological, but really what it's being used as is a material that can process information in very special ways that we can't recreate in silicon.
Wow, that's fascinating. Because it's also, I guess, a lot more flexible than silicon in that neurons can form new connections, whereas silicon is fixed. You obviously change it with the code, but it fundamentally you can't change the architecture of the chip once you've, you know, built it on the silicon. I have a really good business idea off the back of this.
Shoot, go for it.
Right, I think this would make loads of money if someone wants to do it. It's a few years out, but you get one of these computer chips and you train it up to be really, really good at whatever game is really popular, like Fortnite, right? And it has to be really good, crucially. Then you give it a Twitch account and you have it stream playing whatever it is, be it Fortnite or whatever, and you have people who think they're good at that game pay to play against your like brain chip that's quite good at Fortnite, and they are streamed live. Like there's one player at a time is streamed live, and it's just you versus them at whatever game it is, and you're playing against a theoretical, like, biological computer that's really good at that. Because then it's like a fixed, like, it's like a fixed enemy, right? It's like playing against Ninja or playing against Elon Musk on his plane playing a game he didn't really play and paid someone to get good at it for him and then made stupid mistakes because he hadn't played it, right? I just think that would be really exciting. It's almost like, you know, like people would wait in the queue to play against the really good player. It's like playing a penalty shootout against Ronaldo or something. I just think it'd be really cool. And you get the Twitch revenue and you're also having people pay to play against it. I just think that'd be really exciting.
And it doesn't feel like you're playing just against a CPU. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that little bit. I think what would be really interesting, because, you know, I mentioned Twitch plays Pokemon and piggybacking off of your idea, is, you know, getting one of these. If we can't afford one of these, I'll tell you this right now. I know for a fact we can't even afford the shipping from Australia, first of all. And look, culturing mammalian cells is a pain. Them being neurons does not make it easier. I know that we can't afford this. However,
We wouldn't be able to keep it alive. That's the thing.
I think they're probably easy enough to keep alive, right?
Okay. Like, I mean, I keep myself alive. That's true.
Barely. Your wife is gone for a little bit, and I'm honestly worried for you, buddy.
It's me and the baby, so, you know, you should be really worried.
Oh my God. Well, she's at least you've got her to look out for you. You came here today and you were like, oh man, no, sorry, I was late. I forgot that my cleaner was coming. You know, usually my wife tells me the cleaner is coming. And I was like, I knew that your cleaner was coming.
Okay, I that is what I said. I didn't, it's not quite what I meant. But yeah, you knew my cleaner was coming and I did.
I did, well, yeah, come
you
on.
You knew because I told you and then forgot.
I feel like what you're trying to do there is like undercut my point, but doing is underlining
I'm saying that's even worse. I said I didn't know, but I actually did know, and I told you, and you remembered, and I didn't remember, despite knowing once and telling you once.
This is like when I told you about your wife's birthday party, and you were like, what? Since when? So we'll just make sure not to use your blood if we ever make computers out of our own brain cells, right?
You
we'll
could just do it if you wanted yours. A bad computer, like
a computer that does not get the job done.
Yeah,
that's how we'll make those.
The anti-Bob the Builder.
Do you know those calculators that only give the wrong answers? Mm-hmm. We'll use you, and we'll make one of them.
Perfect, a decoy calculator.
Just to kind of wrap this up, the idea behind this is not just to use it to play video games, you know, or your idea of making it really good so people can play against it, or my idea of Twitch plays Pokemon, but not Twitch plays Pokemon, it's a brain in a jar plays Pokemon. Uh-huh. And it's to use it for like robot arms and, you know, running things that need a bit more flexibility, that need, you know, basically as a controller, right? You know, we want to automate as much as we can so that we can continue to make more and more money and crush the working class and get rid of the middle class. Oh, sorry, no, wait. We want to automate things as much as we can so that we can all work less, right?
That's what we're told is why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we'll just put brains in jars, which is not horrifying at all, of course. And it's not a brain in a jar, of course. It's as close to a brain in a jar as you're going to get with something like this.
But it's interesting though, because it does throw up that question of like people saying, well, AI is not conscious. Okay, but if this is made of brain, and one of the reasons we say AI is not conscious is because, you know, it's not made of meat. Mm-hmm. That's not literally the only reason, but like it's one of the reasons. How are we going to eventually, if we're scaling this up to like 2 million neurons, 2 billion neurons, mm-hmm. at what point do we start going, what if it is conscious, even in a really weird, abstract, non-human form of consciousness? Like, we fundamentally do not know. Everything we know that is made out of neurons that is able to do complex things is conscious. Like, complex things.
I don't know about that, man. I've met many people who definitely have a brain in their head, and I'm not sure whether or not they're conscious.
Conscious and intelligent are not the same thing, Corey.
Oh, no, I mean, I don't even know if they're conscious. Neither. They've dipped straight over to the point where I'm like, I don't know if there's anything going on behind there.
I think they might not be self-reflective, but I think they might be conscious. Let's give them that. It's not a high bar. They're capable of being like, ow, that hurt, or like, ooh, that feels sad for me.
So, yeah, I don't know, though, because I would argue, right, that it's hard for, it would be hard for them to be conscious, given that they're not, they're brain cells, they're neurons, obviously, but that doesn't mean that they're brains. Do you get what I'm saying?
I know, all I mean is that because we do not know anything about how consciousness occurs, we have no idea why it's there. But we know that the only substrate in which we think it exists is neurons. Mm-hmm. And we are constantly making the argument that AIs are not conscious, despite the fact that they exhibit behavior that 20, 30 years ago we would have called conscious. If we get a petri dish of neurons to exhibit behavior that we would normally call conscious, and it is made out of the same stuff, at that point we have to be going, okay, we need to be sure this is definitely not conscious before we subject it to playing literally hell, which is Doom.
Yeah, it starts in somewhere and then it literally ends in hell. Yeah. You're spot on.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I think, obviously, the sort of reflection that you'd need to be... I think people, the sort of higher consciousness that we've got, mm-hmm. call it that for now, right? The sort of self-reflection, all of these sorts of things that come with that. That's... A lot of that is only really possible because of all of the things going on in our brains, right? There's different structures that sort of specialize for different things. And, you know, you wouldn't necessarily say that the sort of reflex actions you have or the parts of your brain that control just basic biological functions, right? Put it this way, right? I can knock you unconscious right now.
Oh.
Right here, right now.
Go on then.
Give me a few minutes.
Bring it.
Once we're done.
Charge yourself up.
I could knock you unconscious right now and you would probably not die immediately, right? Uh-huh. So you could be unconscious and still your brain will be working on things in the background to keep you alive, right?
But those are things I'm never conscious of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so just what I'm saying, the point I'm making is that you're not necessarily conscious of those things, but they're still happening regardless. You could lose all the conscious parts of your brain and those parts could still keep on running, mm-hmm. right? And we wouldn't necessarily say that you are conscious, despite the fact that you have a brain, arguably, you have a brain that is still, you know, doing stuff to keep you alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying that it will be conscious. I'm just saying that there will be some point along this road, if we continue following the road, where we will have to, like, our excuses of, like, well, that's made of sand, it's not made of meat, like, will run out sooner if we make stuff out of meat than when we make it out of sand.
Are people using that argument that it's not made out of brain and so it's not?
I think fundamentally, yes. Like, not it's not the only argument they're using, but fundamentally, I think they are sort of arguing, like, well, we only know that consciousness exists in biological organisms, and so it's silly to assume it exists in sort of ones we made out of sand. Sand, by the way, is what processors are made out of. Silicon in sand. It's just funny to say sand and
they're
meat.
Not literally. I don't want people to think that you're going to the beach and literally just, you
let's
know.
Go to the beach. Let's build an AI.
No, I get where you're coming from. I think it is. This is one of those headlines that you read and you're like, I mean, this is horrifying, right? This is brain in the jar. This is scary. It sounds scary. It feels scary. It's actually really interesting. But the idea of using human brain cells, and it's human brain cells as well, not the brain cells of something else.
Which feels unnecessary. I don't think our brain cells individually are cleverer than, like, another brain cell.
I think we
have a better configuration of them. But I think you could probably take, like, something that we as a society don't care about, which is sad in its own way, of like a cow's brain cell or a pig's brain cell or something we generally dismiss despite it clearly being in pain, and we could make it that play doom, and then people would have less issue with it. Why human brain cells?
I'd be more interested in a living pig playing doom though than just a pig brain, you know?
So much cooler. I'd pay to play Fortnite against a pig. That's amazing.
Finally, someone I can beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems kind of horrifying on the face of it. And maybe we'll talk more about this on the Patreon whilst we're playing Doom. But that's pretty much all I've got for you today. Luke, is there anything else that you want to mention?
I just wanted to learn to play.
Too late, Luke. Oh. End of the episode. We've got to go. That is all from us, but before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons, and thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere, and
you can follow us both to the Patreon.
To the Patreon!
To the Patreon! And to our Doom.
Oh yeah, we're playing Doom.